Do you ever think about leaving?
Back off? It's my family. I can never.
Never.
No, never. And anyway, the work. This special work. It's what's expected of us.
All right, let's get into it. We got a lot. We got a lot going on. Today, we're going to get into some news. Some news about paranormal sex with ghosts. Some updates. Some things to look for this summer. We're going to do a quick little how do you do on Aladdin. Did you watch the new Aladdin? I did. We're going to talk about The Perfection on Netflix. Did you watch The Perfection? Now, before you get upset here, I'm going to spoil the plot of The Perfection, so I'm going to save that for last. So, let me just, how can I tease you with that? We're going to reveal the hidden agenda behind The Perfection. We'll get into that later. Let's get into it. Okay, first off, a little bit of housekeeping. MJ left a comment on IlluminatiWatcher.com. Is that Michael Jackson? Michael Jordan? I don't know. Referring to a comment I made about the rapper Logic. Referring to his producer in the song. Previously, I talked about how Logic in the song Keanu Reeves says 666 because he says, and I forget the lyrics off the top of my head, but he repeats the term six three times. But MJ says that Logic was in fact referring to his own producer who goes by the name of Six. Now, I used to say I've never met a Logic fan, but maybe I can't say that anymore. It's like my guy Hands of Red there on Twitter mentioned this a while back. Never met a Chance the Rapper fan either. Same with Logic. I think these guys are somehow co-opted by the industry. And I'm not taking anything away. Like, I think he's a talented rapper. That's fine. I'm just, doesn't do anything for me. And I don't think he does anything for anyone else. So, Ari Aster, do you know who that is? Yeah, that's the director of Hereditary. I did an analysis on that last year. Probably the most terrifying horror movie of all time. It was so bad, I wouldn't watch it a second time. Man, maybe I would. It was pretty good. But it's kind of like Hostel. Not as gory per se, but it was too much, right? But he's got a new film dropping on July 3rd called Midsommar. And if you watch the trailer, which I advise you do, because I'm going to be there. I'm going to be right there first night, opening night. That's the big fantasy. Every time I see a trailer for a movie I want to watch, I'm playing it in my head. Oh yeah, I'm gonna take the day off work. I'll get there and watch it the first night. The reality is a month later, I'm like, okay, I got time. Let's go watch the movie, and it's on the way to Redbox or something. But if you go watch Midsommar, I advise you to watch Wicker Man first. I did an analysis on Wicker Man, the 1971 film. One of the greatest films of all time. You can actually watch the video now, because when I did the analysis, I did a podcast for it, and I took clips from the movie. But you can watch those clips in action. If you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com and go to the videos tab, you can find it on there, because on my Vimeo channel, I uploaded it. Vimeo doesn't hassle me like old CensorTube does. And you'll notice I haven't been uploading a lot to CensorTube lately. I just hate YouTube, you know? Don't you hate it? Aren't you tired of seeing nonsense? Them pushing garbage down your throat? Hearing people tell you to like and subscribe? Yeah, you know. You know what to do. It's YouTube. You don't gotta tell me, right? Now, the trailer for Midsommar, if you notice, it's got the maypole. the May Day Maypole, the same pole we saw in Wicker Man, which is, of course, calling upon the old days, the olden religion of the pagan earth worshippers. And then they dance with the spiral. Again with the spiral. Did you listen to my last podcast about AI? The movie AI from 2001 from Spielberg and Kubrick with the spiral symbolism. Here it is again. Why does it keep popping up? Well, they'll tell you it's just something they do. Ask BuzzFeed what the spiral means. They have no idea. They just say what they're told to say. Repeaters, as David Icke calls them. Now, okay, that's enough of Ari Aster. That was just more of an update. I'm just giving you a heads up because I hadn't heard about the movie until I stumbled across it. I haven't seen Brightburn yet. Someone told me to look for it. Of course it's in the wheelhouse. It's something I want to see. It's about this kid who's the fallen angel of Lucifer. But if and when I do watch it, I will tell you all about it. My man DJW, give me a heads up on John Wick 3. I haven't seen the John Wick movies yet, okay? I want to. I'm not an action movie guy, but I like Keanu Reeves well enough, and those movies look interesting to me. I gotta watch the first two before I watch the third one, but apparently on the third one there's a symbol to look for, and I don't know if it's spoiling the plot or not, so hold your ears for the next 5 seconds, but apparently he gets an inverted cross tattooed on him. I don't know how that plays into the story. Okay, don't shoot the messenger. That's just what I was told. And I don't want to hear any more because I want to watch the movies. So give me 1 year to watch these movies. Strange Angel, the Jack Parsons TV series, season 2 is coming out. Season 1 was already out. And you say, well, Isaac, where was it? Don't ask me. CBS did it on the CBS All Access. What does that mean? I don't know. Where do you find it? I don't know. Online somewhere. I wanted to watch it, but, you know, I'm an old fuddy-duddy. I like the cable with the DVR. Let me record it and watch it on a proper TV, not on a laptop, right? Not on my phone. Like some greedy troll under the bridge hovered over my phone at work, watching it on a little screen. But yeah, season 2 is coming out. And I've got great interest in seeing it. So if you know how to watch this thing without pulling it up on an online connection, help me out here, okay? I'm getting old. Technology's surpassing me. I've been studying 5G. Oh my God, that 5G is a rabbit hole of rabbit holes. I'm about to pull my hair out researching 5G. Because, as you know, on Patreon in May, which should be closed up now, I have a post where I asked for what you want me to talk about. And I got a bunch of great comments. Who told me about 5G? Was it Danny? What are you doing to me here? What are you doing to me? This is taking days, weeks off my life. I'm stressed out. I got anxiety. And putting lead barriers around my cell phone now. I'm going out in my backyard looking for smart meters. Oh my goodness. But yeah, the 5G Mega Spectacular will be out in May, along with all the other responses to all the other requests. I think I bit off more than I can chew, to be honest. There's going to be a lot of topics on there. A lot of good ones. But I want to do them justice. I want to give it the proper research. But yeah, this technology thing, and I've got a background in engineering, okay? So don't get the wrong impression. Like, I'm not a total idiot, but anyways. Let's talk about women having sex with ghosts. Huh? A British woman claimed she had sex with 20 ghosts, and she's now engaged to one of them. Amethyst Realm, apparently that's her name. Amethyst Realm told the British TV show ITV this morning that she cheated on her fiancé with a ghost. How'd you like to be that guy? Getting cucked by a ghost. And she's had supernatural affairs with at least 20 paranormal beings. Did you watch that old movie? Oh, help me out here. We're going to do a little bit of wandering. there was an old like 70s movie about this woman who got raped by a ghost and had this like terrifying knock when the ghost would come. Boom, 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 boom. Anyways, if I can't think of it off the top of my head. Oh, I'm just going to keep wandering. I'm going to wander till it hurts. Oh boy, I want to look it up on the Google, but I just won't do it. Okay, so Amethyst Realm, she says that the ghost asked her to get married. She said, there was no going down on one knee. He doesn't have knees. Duh. For the first time I heard him speak, I could actually hear his voice, and it was beautiful, deep, sexy, and real. Oh, man, that sounds like me. So, let's see here. I'm trying to pull out some relevant information. Okay, here we go. Here's the reason I'm talking to you about this, okay? Amethyst Realm said her friends and family have embraced her unusual engagement, and now she's planning her big day as a pagan ceremony. Well, there you go. And it goes on to tell you a little more. Not that we need to get into that, but what I'm saying is all these pagans, they all get into the paranormal stuff with the paganism stuff, with the earth worship stuff, which actually segues into the 5G a little bit. Sometimes these earth worshipers get involved with that. And look, I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I don't know the right belief system. I'm just telling you that they always seem to go back and forth with each other. Seems like the people that are into the paranormal stuff also get into pagan stuff and witchcraft, because it's all in this belief in a supernatural realm and actually trying to manifest these things, these entities, trying to make contact. And she made the ultimate contact, apparently. So, Dan Aykroyd talks about aliens on CNN. Ghostbuster star Dan Aykroyd is convinced aliens are already here and that they want to have sex with human women. The actor says he's seen 4 UFOs and that most extraterrestrials who pop by Earth are just tourists coming to look at this beautiful planet. However, the star is concerned that some aliens want to harm people and use them as lab rats. And Dan Aykroyd is convinced that 60% of us already know it's true. He told the Daily Star, the proof is going to start dribbling out. The aliens are interested in your ova, your femininity, your reproductive parts, your DNA. They would love to draw blood and fluid and would love to impregnate a woman and produce a hybrid baby. This is why they're here. I believe some aliens are here to harm us. There are many that come here with nefarious purpose and want to use us as lab rats. Now, and then it goes on to tell you about other famous people that are into aliens. Rolling Stones' Ronnie Wood, his wife, ex-wife Jo Wood, and it looks like Jo was reading a magazine called "Is God an Astronaut?" Because it all goes into like ancient alien stuff. And if you'll notice, recently there's been this huge uptick in trying to set the narrative of aliens and UFOs and our universal belief that they're here, okay? I just want you to keep an eye open for this. I've seen a million articles in the last month, I'd say, where instead of just asking the question, now the masses are being led down the path of saying, well, we all believe aliens are here, so what's next? Like, we're just ready to move on from there. Okay. And look, I believe there's aliens, but I don't know that they're exactly the form of entity that they want us to believe they are. I believe in a supernatural realm, but I also believe in that supernatural realm there are fallen angels, there are demonic spirits. There are manifestations, maleficent manifestations. Like the woman having sex with the ghosts. Getting that good ghost D. D as in demon. Ah, boy. Anyways. Yeah, be on the lookout for that. Be on the lookout for all of the narratives saying, oh, yeah, we all believe in UFOs. Yeah, right? You're stupid if you don't believe in aliens. Look at all the worlds out there. Look at all the stars out there. Listen to NASA. Listen to the scientists. They'll never lead us astray. Speaking of, I listened to Joe Rogan. He had Lard Hamilton, the surfer guy, on there. And I learned something very interesting, that the guy, the doctor who invented the treatment for athletes called RICE, rest, ice, compression, elevation, turns out he wrote a book on it, right? In like the 70s. And they've been telling athletes this since whenever they get injured to do that since then. But now he's turned around just a couple years ago and he said that he was wrong. He was entirely wrong. Heat's better for you. You know, and that's my point. I appreciate science. It gives me the ability to talk to you and connect to you, but they're not always right. I don't have this blind allegiance to science. At best, they're like half right. So, like, I'm not going to listen to them to tell me where the aliens are, okay? They've been looking for them for 30 years through, what's the big satellite thing called? They've been looking for that, and they haven't been able to, SETI, they haven't been able to find it, okay? And then the chief engineer of NASA says, by 2025, we're going to prove it. Well, okay, I'll hold my breath. Let's talk about Aladdin. Now, you know who was missing from the film, Aladdin? French Montana. That's right, he could have been Jafar. He could have been one of the henchmen. I think if Ed Sheeran's lame ass can get on Game of Thrones, then French Montana should have been one of the henchmen on Aladdin. Why, you know, if Game of Thrones would have spent more time or less time trying to get these lame ass celebrities in the show and more time focusing on the plot, it would have been a better wrap up. Anyways, so Aladdin. Let me give you the hot take on it. You know, it was a good film. I don't know. I thought it was good, entertaining. It was over an hour and a half though. It was over 90 minutes, and they could have hacked off 15 easy. In fact, there was a very out of place spot where Princess Jasmine, and I'm not gonna spoil this, like as if you didn't know the Aladdin story, where Jasmine does this sort of like woman empowerment part. Where she sings the song about the speechless song or whatever. And look, I'm okay with the woman empowerment thing. Go for it. Cool. I like it. Show us the strong women. That's great. We need that. But like, this was completely forced. I mean, did you see it? Does this seem forced to you? That's what I thought. That was my take on it. Because it didn't really play into the story at all. And I was like, because it was after the 90-minute mark. And after the 90-minute mark, I start huffing and puffing in my seat. And I started saying, do we need this? Is this value added to the story? So, Aladdin. Jafar. Yes, we were talking about Jafar in French Montana. Yeah, so Jafar. Now, you'll notice, and I think this might have been more visible in the cartoon, but just in general, when you look at these sort of Egyptian, Middle Eastern caricatures they have on these shows, they have the serpent on the head. Do you know what that means? Well, according to Bill Cooper, it means Satan. It means Satan because the serpent is indeed a reference to the serpent in the Garden of Eden. And I'm going to trace this down for you. The Garden of Eden gets the serpent. That's Satan. Okay? The Satan gave Adam and Eve the ability to become like gods with the gift of intellect, with the gift of wisdom. And then this idea that man can, through his own mental emanations and his own enlightenment and evolving, can become like God one day. And since then, they've been trying to do this. Which is why the symbol of the serpent and the light always comes up. That's really all I got on Aladdin. I hope you weren't expecting more. Oh, I want to cover Dave Mustaine real quick. There's a fun little clip I'm going to play. It's about 6 minutes. So hang in there. It's really good, though. We're going to listen to Dave Mustaine, of course, the lead singer of Megadeth. Also, I believe he was in the first iteration of Metallica, but they kicked him out of the band or he quit. I don't know my Hessian metal history well enough. But he talks about Satan being a beautiful angel, music being infused with the devil, praying before he takes the stage because he's, you know, born again now. I don't know if born again is the right term, but he's Christian now. and his history, where as a teenager he was into witchcraft and casting hexes, and he talks about the Faustian bargain, and he says all this stuff is very real.
For believers, the battle with the devil comes in many forms, and it's waged on many front lines. We've seen the harrowing journeys of exorcism and deliverance ministry. We've taken a deeper look at the Amityville horror. Now, did the devil make you do it? Can an obsession with Satan wreck lives and drive people to kill? It was a gruesome crime. 15-year-old Elise Paler was lured into a grove of eucalyptus trees by three teenage boys in 1995. They bound her neck with a belt, stabbed her repeatedly, and then raped her. Her body might never have been found if one of them, Royce Casey, hadn't come forward. He said she was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed virgin, and they were offering her as a sacrifice to the devil. The boys were part of a death metal band and thought that Satan could make their music better. Casey said it was an idea they'd gotten from Altar of Sacrifice, a song by the heavy metal band Slayer. Paler's parents filed suit against the band, trying to hold them partially responsible for their daughter's murder, a suit that was eventually thrown out. But for many believers, heavy metal remains inextricably tied to the devil, a kind of doorway or portal, like Ouija boards, witchcraft, or other occult practices, that can invite the forces of darkness into a person's life. Dave Mustaine is one of the gods of metal, a founding member of Metallica, and the founder and frontman for Megadeth. He says he has no doubt about the devil.
The greatest lie he's ever told was convincing people he doesn't exist. And you see people, they think that he's like red, he's got a goatee and a pointy tail and stuff like that. He doesn't. He's very beautiful. He's an angel. Why would he look like some monster? He's capable of looking just like you. He could be in this room right now. We wouldn't know it.
That's a scary thought.
It's a very scary thought.
Mustaine is currently on tour in Europe with what's called the Big Four, his current and former bands, plus Anthrax and Slayer.
Are people right when they say that heavy metal music is infused with the power of the devil?
In some cases, yes, but not in all cases, because you've got great heavy metal bands that believe in God and glorify Him. We pray every night before we go on stage.
That sounds great.
For a 50-year-old man, it feels pretty damn good.
He shows me a chord progression called the tritone, also known as the devil's interval.
The devil's tritone is made up of these three notes, and this note right here drops down one. So it goes. So listen to the difference. It just sounds evil, doesn't it?
It sounds darker.
Which is why the progression is used so frequently in death metal. Mustaine says he is a Christian now, but wasn't always.
My mom was a Jehovah's Witness. I was brought up as a witness, and I revolted into the witchcraft because I hated going out and knocking on people's doors.
Yes, witchcraft. As a teenager, Mustaine says, he cast two hexes. The first was on a bully who sucker punched him.
From what I heard, he got in a car accident, and something happened to part of his body that I had targeted in the hex, and that showed me that it was real.
The second was on a girl he was in a class with.
Everybody wanted her, including me, but she was so out of my batting average and just totally out of my league. And I did it, and the next day she was in my apartment.
You were convinced that these hexes, that you were spells that you were casting, worked.
I was, and I do believe in the dark side. Most people think that, you know, black magic and witchcraft and stuff like that isn't real or it doesn't work. And I know that it works.
Mustaine's fascination with the occult continued into his adulthood.
I was doing a lot of blood packs with people. This is before we found out about AIDS. It was real simple stuff where you cut your thumb and you rub it with somebody else and become blood brothers. I don't want to make a spiritual covenant and mixing my life with somebody else who I don't know who they are or how they are. The Bible said that blood is life.
And like so many people we have met, Mustaine believes that he opened the door to demonic forces, which had a profound impact on his life.
Was your abuse of alcohol related to the satanic influences that you'd been dabbling in?
I'll say this. Every time I drank, I did not always do activities that were satanic, but any time I had been doing anything that was satanic, I had been drinking.
So
does that make sense?
Yes, it does. There was a relationship then.
Absolutely.
There are some songs Mustaine will no longer sing. I am an antichrist. Like Megadeth's cover of the Sex Pistols' Anarchy in the UK. And he says he believes he's better for it.
I think that I'm more dangerous now that I've become a Christian than I ever was before when I was trying to go the opposite route, because I'm armed with the truth now.
All right, let's move into the last topic, the perfection. If you haven't watched it, it's on Netflix. Go do it. And shout out to Netflix, you know? What more can you want from a service of entertainment? What more could you want? You know, they don't pay me to do ads, but I would gladly advertise for them. Doing it right now. But the perfection, and shout out to Gads Didn't Strike on Twitter. Wanted to know what I thought about this, and I'd actually already started the movie when the Gads Didn't Strike hit me up on it, but I hadn't finished it yet, so here's the response I will give you. It was very good, you know, 90 minutes, boom. You got to keep it moving. You got to keep the stories moving. We got things to do. And plus, I can always find time to watch Jennifer Connelly and Logan Browning making that sweet lesbian love. I mean, it's an abomination. And I won't stand for it as a good Christian. Anyways, it was a good movie. Let's be real about it. Let's get it together here. It was a good movie, but when it starts off real good, you know, real interesting, engaging me right off the bat. But then there's a part where, you know, the part, because we're in plot spoiler territory, so turn away. When Jennifer Connelly pulls out that butcher knife and says, you know what you have to do, it's like, okay, full send. The turbos are kicking in here. And the movie is just, it's good. It's quick. It moves along. It's got elements of MK Ultra, you know? You saw the MK Ultra stuff with the psychiatric hospital. They're zapping her brain. Reminded me of Requiem for a Dream, which is where I first enjoyed Jennifer Connelly. And then there's, of course, sexual traumatic abuse as part of the plot there. The bad guy's name is Anton. Like Anton LaVey, right? And to me, it seemed a little analogous to the entertainment industry, and like a Harvey Weinstein kind of character, and, woman empowerment getting back at him, that sort of thing. But what happens? You have to wait to the very end. The two women, Jennifer Connelly, who's a white woman, and Logan Browning, who is a black woman. As you saw in the film, Logan's character loses her, I believe, left hand or right hand. Wait a minute. Right hand. And then in the final sort of fight, Jennifer Connelly's character loses her left hand. So the two of them, because you know the story is about, for those of you who didn't care about the plot but haven't seen it, it's basically about these two girls, and they're in this sort of underground, secretive, weird group of rich white man Illuminati sort of group, I don't know, and they're trying to make these perfect, what do you call it? They're not singers, they play an instrument, I don't know what that's called, cello players. And they look for perfection, right? And they abuse them if they can't hit all the notes. You know, they groom them as children, and they move up to the perfection. And that's sort of like the culmination of it, is if you can play this song perfectly, okay? Well, the girls cleverly figure out a way to rebel against these elitists, but in the process, they lose a couple limbs, and and what happens in the rest of the film isn't really relevant to what I'm talking about here, but you'll find in the final scene is Jennifer Connelly, her character, and Logan Browning's character are both sitting on the same chair playing the cello, but because they're each missing a limb, they both have to play it together with, like, you know, Logan's, lack of a better word, fingering the chords on the cello. I didn't pay attention to music, sorry. And then Jennifer Connelly's character doing the stick, okay? But what does that mean? It's the reconciled opposites. It's the perfected androgynous, the Baphomet, the perfection. That's the name of the title, is the perfection. And it's the perfected androgyne. That's what all these occultists talk about with the Baphomet, which we saw in Get Out, which also starred Jennifer Connelly. If you haven't checked out my Get Out analysis, I highly advise you to do that, because that's what it's all about. It's the reconciling of the opposites. So that's why the same theme exists of the black and the white in both films, Get Out and The Perfection. And, of course, the black and white is symbolic of duality with the Freemason black and white checkered floors. You know this already. But towards the beginning of the film, there's a dialogue between Connelly's character and Browning's character, and they talk about doing the special work, the great work. That's these elitists in this underground Illuminati group. They're doing the great work. Again, Freemason concepts mixed with the duality, the Freemason concept of the great work, which is all about evolving mankind, the evolution of consciousness on a mass scale. That's what it's all about. So that's my take on The Perfection. Oh, and if you haven't seen it, it's not for the faint of heart, okay? There's spots where it's pretty gory. And I don't know. Raise your kids how you want. I grew up on gore, so... just giving you forewarning there. It gets pretty rough in spots. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed that. Hope you enjoyed our talk today. Leave that review on iTunes if you like the show. If you want to take it to the next level, go to patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher and you can get bonus content, even more time together. Till next time, stay woke.